The sermon passage this afternoon is taken from the book of Matthew, chapter 25, verses 14 to 30. Again, you will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one, he gave 5 bags of gold, to another, 2 bags, and to another, 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. So also, the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more." His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." The man with 2 bags of gold also came. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I have gained 2 more." His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." Then a man who had received 1 bag of gold came. "Master," he said, "I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you." His master replied, "You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gathered where I have not scattered seeds? Well then, you should have put your money on deposit with the bankers, so that when I return, I will have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." This afternoon, we are very glad to have Reverend Wan to share with us God's word on how to invest your life. Reverend Wan, please.
Good morning. It's good to be back here to bring God's word to you. You know, as a pastor, I play many roles in the church: teaching, preaching, counseling, training, etc. But I thought this morning I'd like to play the role of an investment advisor. So my title is How to Invest Your Life, or if you like, How to Make Your Life Count for God. Okay? Now let me begin with 2 powerful truths which the Bible teaches. Firstly, compared to eternity, life is extremely brief. I'm sure all of us are aware of that. James 4:4 says, "What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes." So it's foolish for all of us not to plan for life and for eternity. Secondly, God has a plan and purpose for every one of us, for you and for me. Jeremiah 29 verse 11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil. Plan to give you a future and a hope." So I think all of us need to pray the prayer of David in Psalm 39 verse 4. Lord, remind me how brief my time on earth will be. Remind me that my days are numbered and that my life is fleeing away. This is a reminder that all of us need to have. Now, there are three things that you can do with your life. Three basic options. Number one, you can waste your life. You know, the world's philosophy is eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. The world says you only go around once in life. Go with gusto, live for today, do your own thing. If it feels good, do it. You know, many years ago, I taught at the Helping Hand, which is a drug rehab ministry, every Tuesday for 2 years. And so I got to know many of the drug addicts. All of them have wasted many years of their lives because of drug addiction and many other criminal offenses. One of them, who is musically talented, wrote these words: I can write 2 years of my life in a song, but I can't rewrite my wrong. Beautiful statement. So many of these drug addicts live with deep regret. Now this week I happened to, you know, go to Mi Watch and I saw a new documentary. You know, the hawker apprentice, they're trying to train three of them to be hawker, you know, sellers, you know, Hokkien Mee, chicken rice, and ayam penyak. And one thing that just struck me was the fact that three of them spent more than 20 years in prison. And when you listen to them, they say with a deep voice of regret. Now, secondly, you can spend your life. You can spend it on a career, a family, a hobby. You can spend it to make a name for yourself. You can spend it to acquire properties. You can spend your life in many things, whatever interest that you may have. And for most of us in Singapore, I think we spend almost our whole life making money for what? For HDB apartments, for buying a car. And also, third major investment is our education or the education of our children. These are the three biggest, you know, chunk of food money that we spend on. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 6:7, we brought nothing into the world and we can bring nothing out of it. Please be reminded of that. Okay, you may acquire all these things, not wrong, but remember, it won't last. Once you drop off, all right, everything else goes to somewhere else. Okay, so I think it is foolish for us to spend our life acquiring assets which we cannot bring along when we die. Now, the third option is you can invest your life. I believe that the best use of our life and your life is to invest your life in something that outlasts it. Okay? In other words, invest your life in things that are eternal. And the Bible tells us that there are four things that are eternal. Number one, God is eternal. So let us invest our life in knowing, serving, and enjoying God. Secondly, the Word of God is eternal. So let's invest our life in mastering the Bible and allowing the Bible to master us. Thirdly, the spirit of man is eternal. So invest your life in saving souls, in making disciples for Jesus Christ. And number four, the body of Christ is eternal. So invest your life in building up God's people, in building up the body of Christ. Now let's now look at the parable of the talents to learn some important principles for investing your life to make your life count for God. The first principle is that of ownership. The Bible tells us that everything belongs to God. God is the creator, and since he made everything, he owns it all. Psalm 24, verse 1 says, "The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. And all that I am and all that I have belong to God. I belong to God because he created me." And then also, we belong to Christ because he has redeemed us. We were slaves of sin and Satan, and Christ came to earth to buy us back with his precious blood when he died on the cross. The Bible says, you are not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. So we belong to God because he made us and redeemed us with the precious blood of God. Now, do you know what it means in practical terms? It means that the money in your bank account, my dear friends, is not yours. Belongs to God. It means that the house or your apartment, which you spent almost your whole life paying for it, actually in the end does not belong to you. It belongs to God. It means that your children belongs to God. So God has the right to decide what to do with them. Wow, this is a very, very impactful truth, if you think about it. That is what it means to be a child of God. God redeemed us, bought us with a price, and all that we have, all right, from now onwards, belong to him. We are just stewards, just managers. Secondly, the principle of allocation. In this parable, the master represents God, and we are his servants. He has entrusted the property to us. Look at verses 14 and 15. "Again, I will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one, he gave 10 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability." Now, in the Bible, the word talent is just a measurement of money, okay? A unit of weight in gold or in silver. Now, in the passage that you read just now on the screen, they have translated it as bags of gold. That is one, what they call translation or interpretation. Now, a talent is approximately 1,000 US dollars in today's currency, okay? Now remember that in those days, there was no paper money, okay? So today, the meaning has changed. A talent is anything God entrusted to you and me. And there are actually 3 different kinds of talents: abilities, resources, and opportunities. Take note of verse 15. "To one, he gave 5 talents, to another 2 talents, to another 1 talent, each according to his ability." So here you see they were given different talents and different abilities. Okay? And everyone is given at least 1 talent. In Romans 12:6, we read, "We have different gifts according to the grace given us. So here you see different gifts, but the same grace. Every one of us is different, different in temperament, different in gifting, and different in ability. Okay, and we are to be good stewards of them, not to be jealous of gifts that we do not have. The third principle, the principle of accountability, verse 19. Now, God has given us life, and with it, He has given us, every one of us, abilities, talents, resources, and opportunities. And God has made an investment in you and me, and He expects us to make good use of them. God wants a return from His investment. Now, look at verse 19. After a long time, the master of these servants returned and settled accounts with them. Note two words, settle accounts. One day, we are going to be audited by God. He is going to come and audit our lives. Romans 14:12 says, each of us will give an account to God. It will happen to all of us. You and I will have to give an account to God as to whether we have wasted or spent or invested our lives. And at that audit, God is going to ask you questions such as, what did you do with all that I have given you? What did you do with all the resources that I have given you? What did you do with all the wonderful opportunities that I have given you throughout your life? This is the principle of accountability. We are accountable to God for the resources that He has given to us. In 2 Corinthians 5:10, Paul says, for we all appeared before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one of you may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. That's why Paul tells us to be careful how we build our lives and what we do with our lives, because on the day of judgment, we will be tested with fire to determine the quality of our life and work. All right, this is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Now we look at the principle of remunerations or rewards. Look at the first two servants. The first one received 5 talents, and the second 2 talents, each according to his ability. Now the servant who had received 5 talents invested the 5 talents and gained 5 more. The man with 2 talents gained 2 more. Now notice very carefully, both received the same 3 rewards given by the master. Look at verses 21 and 23. First, the affirmation. Well done, good and faithful servant. Secondly, the promotion. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Okay? Now, a lot of people want instant success. But remember that success begins in small things in life. Being faithful in the little things that we are assigned to, in small responsibilities. In Luke 16:10, Jesus says, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. When you are faithful in the little things, God will give you greater responsibility. And Jesus also said, from everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. From the one who has been entrusted with much, much will be asked. Okay? And then thirdly, celebration. Come and share your master's faithfulness or happiness. Our faithfulness in serving God with what He has given us will bring joy to the master. Now, this parable teaches us that God's ability gives us ability, resources, and opportunities, and He demands faithfulness and diligence in return. Okay? And He rewards His servant at His coming. It shows us that although the distribution of gifts and privileges are unequal, different, but if they are used with equal diligence, the reward will be equal. This is very important principle for us. Look at the first servant, right? He was given 5 talents, gained 5 more, 100% profit. So the second servant with 2 talents, gained 2 more, 100% profit. So you can see that the rewards were the same, right? Even though the amount is different. Now let's look at the third servant, verse 18. The man who had received 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. Now the point here is that it is wrong to bury our talents. God has given us talents, and He expects us to use them. The third servant buried his talent. He did nothing. He could have put the talent in the bank to gain interest, but he didn't. Instead, he dug and buried his talent in the ground. Now, why did he do that? Verse 25 gives us the answer. I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. So you can see here, the fear kept the servant from using his talent. It is the fear of failure. All right? Fear kept his servant from using his talent. And the fear, the same fear, keeps many Christians from using their talents to serve God. Now look at verse 26. Take the talent from him and give it to the one with 10 talents. Here the principle is very simple. If I don't use it, if I don't use the talents that God has given me, I will lose them. Okay? So God has the right to take away anything that I don't use to invest for His kingdom. Now we come to just mention a few lessons that we can learn from this parable. Let me just mention 3 of them. Firstly, the parable is about faithful stewardship. God, the Creator and Redeemer, is our Master. He owns everything. We will be more conscientious if we recognize that our gifts and our talents belong to God, that we are just stewards or managers. And God holds us accountable to Him. He expects us to invest our lives wisely for Him, for His kingdom. Now, we will be angry if others use their positions to advance their own interests. Instead of managing your funds, and we see this happening in the commercial world these days. Think of all the scandals that have rocked the world in the past many years. CEOs using their positions to advance their own interests instead of the shareholders. Politicians using their power to fatten their bank accounts instead of building and serving the country for the good of the people. Now, do you realize that this is also a picture of ourselves? Many Christians today are using God's assets to advance their own interests, to build their own kingdom, instead of advancing the kingdom of God. So the question we need to ask ourselves is this: what are you investing your life in? For God or for yourself? Secondly, the parable has bearing on the church. Today, many church leaders are running their churches like business corporations. They adopt the American way of doing business. Hire and fire, okay? They hire pastors to manage the church. The leaders of the church, oh, no, we are very busy. You know, we have no time. That's why we hire you. That's why we pay you to do the job. Okay? That's American mindset. They set targets for the pastors to achieve. And if the pastors fail to do so, what happened? They'll be fired. Now, the tragedy is this, that many pastors today with no theological backbones, they get sucked into this worldly cesspool. They like to call themselves or prefer to be regarded as chief executive officers. You know, they don't like to be called pastors. You know why? Pastors, you know, no title, you know, no prestige. CEO, you know, great. That's American mindset. Now, it's very important for us to understand the nature of the church and how pastors should be treated. Remember that the church is not a business company or an organization. The church is a living organism, the body of Christ. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the head of the church. He is our master. And pastors are not employees. They are servants of Christ. And the church represented by the board is not the employer. Okay, God is. And this parable teaches us that God is our master and we are the servants. Everything in the church belongs to God. The church does not pay the pastors or full-time workers. God instructs his people, the church, to take care of his servants. Can you see the difference? And so when the church fails to take care of his servants, the church has failed God. This is the biblical perspective that we should have. Pastors are servants, and we have to take good care of it. You know, 1 Timothy 5:17 says this, the elder who direct the affairs of the church well are worthy of double honor, especially those whose work is preaching and teaching. You may like to take note of this verse, 1 Timothy 5:17. Please do a Bible study on this verse and tell me what you understand by saying that elders who direct the affairs of the church, well, are worthy of double honor. What does double honor here means? Very important. Okay? And then thirdly, this parable teaches us how to evaluate people the right way, according to effort and faithfulness, not according to performance or results. The first two servants achieved different results, but they were rewarded equally. Okay? Now, this is an important principle to apply in parenting. Remember that every child is different and endowed with different gifts and abilities. So parents must not apply the same standards and make the same demands on all their children. Don't make unfair comparisons. I remember one story about the mother telling the second boy, how come you score only 85 marks in maths? Why don't you be like your koko? You know, he scored 100%. You know what the child replied? I'm not koko. I think that is the best answer I can think of. Evaluate each child according to his or her gifts and abilities, not performance or rewards. It is the effort that counts, not results. Develop each child according to his or her abilities. Some children are good in their studies. Others are good in skills. Okay, remember that they are different. Another thing to bear in mind is, parents, don't specialize in scolding or punishing your children. Many children and many parents are specialists, you know, in scolding and punishing their children. Please get rid of that habit. When they do well, praise them and make sure you reward them. Martin Luther has these wise words for parents. Listen carefully. Spare the rod and spoil the child, true. But besides the rod, put an apple. I thought that was very good. Now I'd like you to look at this interesting picture. I don't know whether you can see the words on the top left of this thing. Okay, let me read to you the top left, what this guy is telling the lineup of this group of animals. He said, for a fair selection, everybody has to take the same exam. Climb that tree. Look at all the animals represented there. Okay? Now, Albert Einstein said that this is, in general, what our education system is all about. He said, everybody is a genius. But if you judge a fish by its ability to climb a tree, it will live its whole life believing that it is stupid. You see, this is essentially the problem with our education. We try to, develop every child. Of course, over the years, there are many changes, good changes, but still, essentially, it's the same. We put 40 children in the class, same teachers, everything same, okay? And that is a problem. So remember, all right, the children are different, and you parents must observe them and develop them according to their gifts and abilities. That's very important. So with that, let me close with these words. To make your life count for God, remember these four principles. One, the principle of ownership. Remember that you and all that you have belong to God. Number two, the principle of distribution. God has given you many gifts and abilities. Number three, the principle of accountability. You and I have to give an account of ourselves to God. And number four, the principle of remuneration. You will be rewarded according to your efforts. And to close, let us remember this. Only one life, it will soon be passed. Only what is done for Christ will last. May God encourage us, motivate us to really make our life count for God from now onwards. Whatever is past, is past. Don't dwell on them. Start afresh. Determine with the help of the Holy Spirit. Yes, God, from today onwards, with your help, help me to make my life count for you. May God bless his word to us. Thank you.